What kind of farm would you want in your community? Small dairy farm owned by someone you know, or a big 500-head dairy farm run by someone you've never met who might not even live in your community? If your answer was the small farm, you're not alone. For years, people have pointed to the trend of farms getting bigger as a problem, with some researchers arguing that big corporate farms are bad for rural communities. But our next guest says it's actually more complicated than that. He's the co-author of new research looking at the impact of farm consolidation on community well-being. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is it hard for small family farms to operate in your community? Have you seen them getting bigger and bigger where you live? If you are a farmer yourself, do you have a small operation, maybe what they call a hobby farm or boutique sort of operation, or have you gotten bigger, or have you left the field? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Steve Deller is regional economist at the UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good. Well, before we get into the study itself, Steve, the origins of it, it's kind of interesting. This started as an undergraduate student project?
Yes, it did. The economics department, the undergraduate student club, actually tries to hook up with faculty or researchers across campus to try to get a little bit of exposure, have the students kind of exposed to, you know, what's it like to actually do a research project. And Iris Parks and I kind of hooked up on this question, and next thing you know, we ended up with a pretty good study.
Now let's get into farm consolidation. First of all, what do we see when it comes to the size of farms in Wisconsin and how that's changed over the years?
What's really happened is that when you look at the size of farms, much of the consolidation that was occurring kind of occurred in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, and then it kind of plateaued. So a lot of the consolidation that we're seeing now is kind of small compared to what was going on back in the 60s and the 70s. So what we're seeing now really is not so much that the average size farm is getting bigger. Indeed, it's not. It's kind of for the last 30 years almost, the average size farm has basically stayed the same. What's happened is the distribution around that average size farm. We're seeing kind of a hollowing out, if you will, of the middle of that distribution. If you think of it kind of like a bell-shaped curve, right, where the average farm is kind of in the middle there, what's happening is that middle is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There's fewer people in that middle. What's happening is we're seeing growth at the what's called the two tails. The bigger farms, right, we're seeing some growth in the bigger farms, but we're seeing much more growth in the smaller farms. And that's where this kind of, you know, it's more complicated than simply farms getting bigger. We're seeing growth in small farms.
Now, part of what you're looking into here is what does it mean in a community if you lose those mid-sized farms and you only have the really big one that's maybe the owner and a bunch of hands, but not, I guess, owner-occupied farms all over the place, and these tiny ones. First of all, how do you even start to try to answer a question like that? What does it mean for community well-being?
How do you define community well-being? If you look at kind of like economic growth, the relationship between farming and economic growth has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker over time. It's because so much of the rural economy has kind of grown beyond farming. Farming has stayed basically the same size. It's gotten a little bit bigger, but the rest of the economy has gotten bigger, particularly in Wisconsin. Now, if you're talking about the Corn Belt, say Iowa, then, you know, things could be a little bit differently. But the relationship between farming and the community is really kind of, it's changed. If you're looking at the large farms, the real impact of the large farms on the local community is through the wages that are paid. Particularly for dairy, it's the hired help spending their money in the local economy. That's where a lot of the economic impact is coming in. The other is kind of feeding into the food processing. In Wisconsin, food processing is extremely important. But what's happening at the other end is that we're seeing this growth in kind of, you think about it, the local foods movement, kind of this niche agriculture, if you will, or these specialty crops, if you will. There's real growth in that end, those farms tend to be much, much smaller. So you have this kind of that typical average size farm doesn't really exist anymore. They're either smaller, specialized, or they're really big. Now, what's really kind of turned the relationship around between the farming and community is that for years and years and years, we used to think that rural communities depended upon farming. That relationship has really changed. Increasingly, all but the biggest farms, the farm household, the farm family, the vast majority of their income comes from off-farm sources. So it's not so much the farm contributing to the local economy. It is, but not that much. It's more that ability to generate off-farm income to keep the farm going. So that relationship has really kind of changed, but for the smaller size farms. For the bigger farms, they're still, you know, they may have off-farm income for primarily something like, say, health insurance. But the relationship between the big farms and the local community is still kind of that direction, but through the labor component.
Talking to Steve Deller, regional economist at UW-Madison, looking at changes in the scale of farming lots, as we're hearing, of smaller farms, a trend toward much, much larger, more consolidated farms, hollowing out the middle. What does it mean for rural communities? You could join in maybe with your experience in your community on your own farm at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Steve, let's take that case and look at your research here. You've got a community. It used to have a bunch of those mid-sized farms. They're not there anymore. Most of them are gone. And they've been replaced by maybe one or two or three operations of these larger scale farms. As you tapped into these measures of well-being, what kind of changes did you see, for better, worse, or neither?
Well, it depends on how you measure it. I mean, one of the things that we wanted to do when we talked about community well-being is that we looked at things like economic well-being, poverty, business startup rates, income levels. We also looked at things like public health and a wide range of kind of metrics. Well, it depends on how you define community well-being. Business startups, for example, having more farms, you actually see more business startups. That's one indicator. But in terms of health, you kind of have running a farm can be a very stressful thing. So it depends. It depends. And that's why one of the things with this whole kind of literature is trying to better understand the relationship between farming and community well-being is that we can't nail it down. We can't get a definitive answer. And the reason is because agriculture keeps changing. There's a big difference between a corn and soybean farmer that has 5,000 acres in central Illinois compared to a smaller farm, say in the Driftless area, that is trying to go into the local foods market. They're apples and oranges. And trying to draw a definitive generalization becomes very, very difficult.
But what things stood out to you in that consolidation scenario I just laid out? It's bigger farms. Were there that changes that struck you in terms of local economies, those local measures of well-being?
The bigger the farm, it really boils down to how profitable is that farm and how well can it pay the farmer and the workers. The bigger the farms, they tend to be able to afford to pay better wages. Those better wages have a positive impact on the local economy. So if you have a choice between 10 farms that are operating at poverty levels or two big farms that are actually paying halfway decent wages, you're better off with the two bigger farms because of the income that's going to the people that are working the farm. Now, when you're looking at a corn and soybean operation, though, you're not hiring that many workers. If you're talking about a dairy operation, you're talking about a lot of workers. So, again, it depends on what kind of process you're looking at.
We're talking to Steve Deller, regional economist at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about the effect of farm consolidation on rural communities. Lots of variables there, as we're hearing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen farming change in your community, in your part of the state? if you're a farmer yourself, what has changed for you? What kind of farming do you do? Have you gotten bigger in your operation, hiring more people? Have you gotten smaller and more specialized? If you live in a community that depends a lot on farming for the local economy, how have these things shaken out for you? And would you rather have a smaller farm, say dairy farm as your neighbor, versus a much larger one? Why would you go one way or the other? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about the impact of farm consolidation on rural communities. Steve Deller with UW-Madison stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think bigger is better when it comes to farming, or do you want to see lots of smaller operations? What has changed when it comes to agriculture, to the farm sizes and operations in your own community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Roger is with us in Cottage Grove. Roger, hi.
Hi. I haven't heard Steve Deller talk about one of the really important measures of well-being, and that is the environment, how large farms affect the water quality, both surface and groundwater quality, and the air quality in rural communities. That's just a really, really important consideration in terms of a measure of well-being. And haven't heard any discussion about that. Would like to hear him comment on that.
Roger, thanks a lot for the call. And this is a big concern when people are worried about, especially larger livestock operations, Steve. I'm not sure if this current research went into that, but do you have some thoughts for Roger?
That's actually an excellent question. And our ability to kind of do these analyses, we're now able to actually start to talk about environmental impacts. We had kind of dreamt about doing it 10 years ago, but now the science has advanced and we can actually start doing it. So, Roger, I hope to have some specific answers for you maybe by summertime. But there's two things with farming. One is that many farmers are really very pro-environmental because they have this connection to the land that is very unique. So the vast majority of farmers are actually very sensitive to sustainable practices and not, being a poor steward of the land. The problem, though, is that you'll have one or two that are sloppy and you can actually have a fair amount of damage. You hear about perhaps a manure pit, a dairy manure pit that springs a leak and there's a massive fish kill off. So we tend to see things like that, but I think the vast majority of farmers are actually pretty sensitive and really want to try to do the right thing when it comes to the environment. But look around summertime. I hope to have a better answer than that for you.
Roger, thanks for calling in. We'll go to Jim now in Waniwok. Jim, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a retired farmer, and as I told your screener, between my farm and the closest town is 5 miles, and years ago there were 12 farms there milking cows, and now there's one, and he uses robotic milkers. So big change in the landscape, big change in the tax base because of all the farm buildings and houses that are gone, school districts that don't have the kids that they used to, small town businesses that don't have the local base of support that they used to. And I think it all comes down to price, that farms went out because they weren't paid a good enough price. And once we lost the parity programs of the New Deal and the consolidation took over, that changed everything.
Jim, thank you so much for sharing your story. Steve, your thoughts?
You're right. I mean, there are, as I mentioned before, there's this notion of get bigger, get out, and that's not true. There are some farmers that decide that maybe getting bigger is right for them, and they make that decision, good for them. There are others that say, we can't maintain it the way it is. What we're going to do is we're going to downsize. We're going to get a little bit smaller. We're going to go to, say, grazing, or we'll go to specialty crops or something like that. But we need that off-farm income. We need somebody working off the farm to bring money into the farm family. And we're seeing a tremendous growth in that kind of a market. So the relationship between the community and the farm has kind of been turned on its head a little bit. Now, farmers that are able to get that off-farm income, or a spouse or someone in the family get that off-farm income, that can help keep that farm alive. If there is no off-farm employment opportunities, then you're right. There's not much left for them to do, and they decide they're going to shut the farm down. They may rent the land, or it may turn into recreational use. But you're right. We're going through some structural changes now.
Jim, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Cindy in Spring Green. Cindy, hi.
Hi. I'd like to just reiterate what everybody else has said. I know that you said they pay higher wages, the larger farms, but there's also the wear and tear that huge machinery has on our roads, and they don't pay a road tax to help defer those costs. And so I wonder what the trade-off is in high wages versus environmental versus the road wear and tear. Thank you.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Steve, with that road wear and tear, Roger earlier talked about environmental impact, worries about what I think you economist types call externalities, things that come as costs to the area that the producer doesn't directly pay for. How big a concern do you see that?
That is with the bigger farms that is becoming a problem. And the reason is because these bigger farms tend to go to larger equipment. The equipment is much heavier, and a lot of the roads are not built to handle that kind of weight. Not so much the roads, it's the bridges and the culverts. They tend to collapse. I mean, many of these culverts and whatnot were built, 50 years ago, and were not designed to handle those kind of heavy equipment. So you do end up with situations for farmers. It's not uncommon to hear a farmer say, look, I've got two fields that are adjacent to each other, but I got to go over a bridge or a culvert to get from one to the other, and I can't, which means I've got to go a mile around to get to the other field. Those are becoming more common because we're moving towards bigger and bigger equipment. So the ability to invest in kind of that basic infrastructure is going to become more important.
Thanks for that call. Talking to Steve Deller from UW-Madison, looking at the economics of farming, and it's changed a lot here in the state. Steve, a cultural issue. You mentioned this in your report. There's the idea associated going back to Thomas Jefferson and others of the independent farmer who their whole livelihood is the farm. It's big enough they can live off of it. It's not so big that they're an aristocrat of some sort. The farms you're talking about, the big, large-scale farms and these small hobby farms or farms where people need outside income, neither of them fit that sort of tradition, that cultural idea in the United States. Does this mean something?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a lot with what people are struggling with, is that those types of farms, the Jeffersonian notion of of that kind of farm, the economics just doesn't work anymore. And the economics has been turning against that kind of farm for over 70 years. And that's why we're seeing this kind of shift that if you want to maintain and continue to have some kind of farm enterprise and getting big is just not right for you, then we have to look at other sources of employment. And that's where this relationship gets flipped. And proximity, if you happen to have a smaller farm and you happen to be within a reasonable commuting distance to, say, Eau Claire or La Crosse or even a Green Bay, where there are employment opportunities, you have a much better opportunity to keep the farm up and running than, say, if you don't have those employment opportunities. And it is, and I think that's partially what a lot of folks are really struggling with, is this idealized American farmer is changing.
We've been talking about the farms themselves. Have you seen similar consolidation trends when it comes to the suppliers of farm equipment, say seed, pesticides, and more on the one side, and the people who buy farmers' produce and turn it into the food we eat?
Yeah, there's been tremendous. I mean, in Wisconsin, when you look at the contribution of agriculture to the Wisconsin economy, it's the processing side. And there's been a lot of consolidation in that. But what we're seeing here is consumers are looking at their food options as kind of one of two kinds. One is kind of what we call commodity food products. This would be cheese that goes on a frozen pizza, right? It's just a pizza and it's a frozen pizza. You're not willing to pay a whole lot for it, right? The other are arsenial foods, artisan foods, if you will, local foods, if you will, organic foods, foods that people are willing to pay a little bit more. And that's where we're seeing that break apart. If you're producing for that commodity market, you've got to kind of get big. I mean, that's the way the economics works. But with this growth in the interest of artisan cheeses, of artisan, well, artisan apples, I'm not sure you can, you know, but locally grown, locally sourced, that's a market that has allowed a lot of the farmers to kind of say, hey, I can shift over into that market, and I can still keep the farm running, but I need to have something off farm to keep the family afloat. There's one story of an organic farmer that said, you know, I love what I do. I love what I do, but I got three kids I got to put through college. And those are the kind of decisions that they're looking at. So it's kind of a consumer tastes have changed, and that's created opportunities for a lot of farmers.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Steve Deller, regional economist at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about new research on farm consolidation and its impact. He worked on it with Iris Sujin Park, now a graduate student in the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison.